Well, hey, strangers, how are you all doing? I am doing fantastic. Yes, I am back. I am back. I am back. And I'm happy to be back. I am, Clay. I'm happy to be back. But I also can't wait to get back to the grandbabies. And that, yes, includes the newest one. He was born 7 days late. He was 7 days late. He was a slowpoke, a slacker, but he's here and he's perfect and everybody's doing wonderful. And I can't thank you enough for holding down the fort for me for 2 weeks and absolutely killing it. Like, you slayed. Such good shows.
Listen, I'm happy you're back. I know you're happy to be back. I'm happy to have you back. This is as much as I like doing the show, and I love being able to support you for especially stuff like that, to go see the grandbaby. That's all great. But so much more fun with you here. I think we just have a better time with the two of us together. So I'm happy you're back.
Awesome. Awesome. The banter is so much fun. It's just fun, isn't it? Like, there's so many things. And I was watching, the last 2 weeks I was watching, I'm like, oh, I would love to jump in on that conversation. Oh, it was great fun. So tonight we got a lot of topics for everybody. We'll see if we can get through. We're going to do the best we can. And but they're all the latest goings on in the world that we feel like talking about. So right after this, we are going to get started. All right. So we're going to jump right into it, right? Like, let's just go crazy and jump right in. So right at the top of my list, I don't know if it was necessarily top of your list, Clay, but right at the top of my list was we just celebrated Easter, of course. And, I get it, for a lot of people, it's just, a bunny rabbit hopping around and hiding eggs and coloring eggs and doing all that stuff. And it honestly, it always was that to me. Like, my whole life, I was not, I wasn't religious. I certainly wasn't a Christian. And yes, my Christians watching, I know it's not a religion. Don't come for me in the comments. I know. So all those years, it didn't mean a whole heck of a lot to me. And this is the first year, honestly, that I understood from that Christian perspective what the big deal was. And and the reason why I say that is because you guys all probably already know where I'm going with this. I would be surprised if you didn't know where I was going. But on Easter, President Biden made a proclamation. Now, there's more layers to this, but let me just start it off with the surface of it, the initial onslaught of this. So we, being all of us, the world, get a proclamation from President Biden, and I'm pretty sure I have it here, like the screenshot of it here, designating Easter Sunday, March 31st, as the Trans Visibility Day. And so he puts up this proclamation. And yes, quite frankly, I and Christians all across the country got really, really offended and angry and mad, and rightfully so, by the way. This is like a high holy day here. This is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are Christians named for Jesus Christ. This was a big deal. And to take this day and completely erase it, essentially, the meaning of it, the depth of it, and to focus on this group of people. And so I want to read the statement now. He says, on Transgender Day of Visibility, we celebrate the joy, strength, and absolute courage of some of the bravest people I know. He says this in on Twitter. He says this, today we show millions of transgender and non-binary Americans that we see them, they belong, and they should be treated with dignity and respect. Now, I certainly agree with that last part. Everybody should be treated with dignity and respect. So that's a no-brainer. That's the given. I would expect no less at any point in time. To not acknowledge the fact that this is a very, very holy day, and to only put this massive focus on this extremely small group of people, it's outrageous. I mean, it really is. Now, I will go back and say, and I will say that I did not know this because I don't think any of us had any real reason to know. Apparently, this Trans Visibility Day has existed for like 15 years, apparently. I had never heard of it before. Had no idea. It's apparently it's always been March 31st. So, you know, so that's the counter argument. You know, that's what the left is saying. Oh, calm down. It's always been that day. Now suddenly it's a big deal to you. Well, it is a big deal to us because you're celebrating it. The White House is celebrating it. And by the way, they also banned the any religious symbols or language or anything from this Easter Day event that they have. And I did read, and I can't confirm it. I don't know if it's true. Supposedly, this has been the case for many years that that's the case. And that, if that's true, I think that's absurd. Easter. How do you eliminate the whole thing that it's actually about? You know, it's we're just living in the craziest world possible right now.
So you've got one of three things happened. Like you said, it's always on March 31st. Okay. Mm-hmm. So either the White House acknowledged the overlap and said, we don't care.
Right.
They acknowledged the overlap and chose to ignore it.
Right.
Or they were so inept that they didn't even realize the overlap.
Mm-hmm.
So they're either inept, you know, don't care, or decided that Easter can coexist with these two and they don't need to deconflict.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know what you're saying about the, you know, taking the, I think it was the egg decorating, you know, they took all the religious.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Not allowed. And, you know, the Easter celebration at the White House has been convoluted and slowly getting watered down year after year to be more inclusive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it was always an Easter egg hunt, and then it was egg rolling, and then it was all these things. You get the kids out on the White House lawn, and, you know, it's all a dog and pony show.
Sure.
But when you start putting restrictions on it, that now you have a different problem. Because like you said, this is... Mm-hmm. You know, this is Christmas without the Christ, right? This is the, you know, now they've turned it into something that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I know that, you know, Santa Claus has nothing to do with the birth of Christ, and the Easter Bunny has nothing to do with resurrection. God, right? That's the commercialization of the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of is what it is. And all of this is, I agree with you. This is a crazy world we're living in.
Yeah.
That all of this is going on and everybody says, it's no big deal. Or they say, we don't care. We can, you know, piss off the Christians. That's fine. We'll pander to the very small group, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that bothers me the most is that when the president was questioned about this, he goes, I didn't do that.
Right.
He goes, yes. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
A reporter asked him point blank.
Directly. Yeah. I didn't do that.
Now the White House is saying his answer, because the reporter questioned him along the lines of what we're talking about, which is, did you know that it's right on top of Easter, that you put this proclamation for Trans Visibility Day right on top of Easter? And he said, I didn't do that. And the White House is saying, well, what he meant was it's always on the 31st. Therefore, he didn't put it there. They just happen to coincide and blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
The bigger question,
how his cleanup crew comes in every time and
the bigger question is, and the conclusion that most of us are coming to is, he has no idea what he's signing. And the reality is he's not signing anything. They're putting things in front of him, and maybe not even putting things in front of him. Maybe the White House chief of staff said, yeah, just go ahead, make it. It's the 31st every year. It's pro forma. Mm-hmm. We don't care about Easter, whatever. And so the Speaker of the House was the one who was very upset about it. And he said, well, there's signatures on it. Well, let me clue everybody in. Unless you watch the president sign something, literally physically see him do it, they don't sign anything. There's a device that has been around for decades called an auto pen. When I was an aide for a general, we had one. You put a marker in it and it mimics his signature, right? There's a code you have to put in. It's very controlled.
Wow.
You line up the piece of paper underneath, you hit the button and it does a signature, and it's written in a real pen with a real marker.
Yeah.
Right. Real, you know, it's ink. It's not a digital replication. It's not printed by a printer.
That's wild. I had no idea. Yeah.
Yeah. So unless you see the president sign any of this stuff, he never signed it.
Right.
Guaranteed he never signed it. So yeah, when he says, you know, I didn't do that, he really didn't do that because he has
no idea. Yeah. Yeah. He has no clue. And, you know, and let's be real. Anything that is put out on Twitter from his account, from his official account, it's not him, you know, and anybody who thinks that it is actually him is, you know, I don't know. I got a bridge to sell you or some swamp land or whatever, you know, that's the old things. That's so outdated to even say that, but I don't care. I said it.
I could be very coarse and say, I have a bridge in Maryland to sell you, but I won't say that. That's probably fine. But yeah, I mean, everybody got mad because President Trump did do his own tweets, the mean tweets thing. And now you've got a president who doesn't, that guy couldn't operate a smartphone if he tried. To get onto Twitter to tweet something, to put on X or whatever it's called. He couldn't do that. That's not him. Yep. That's his press people doing that stuff.
Which, you know, it's another one of those moments where you really should be taking that pause and saying, who is running the country? Because it ain't that guy. It ain't that guy. He doesn't know what the hell is going on at any given moment. No clue.
Nope.
You know, and I tell you, you know, and I haven't done it yet and the moment's already passed. So I'm probably not going to make it. It's just too late. But I was thinking back, you know, when this all happened, I was thinking back on, I don't know if it was last Easter or the one before, but you remember the whole Easter bunny thing, getting up in front of, you know, he was starting to, I think it looked like he was starting to talk about something he wasn't supposed to be talking about. And the Easter bunny jumped out in front of him and did this whole thing and like redirected him, which we all know that was, you know, that was a plant in there, not some guy hired to play the Easter bunny. That was one of their people in there.
That was a Secret Service agent is what that was.
100%. No question about it. And he got redirected and, you know, like shuttled around and, you know, and I was thinking, I was trying to come up with a video to make for it. Like that, this was his revenge, you know, against Easter to do this. But the moment passed, you know, it's just the whole thing. It's just yet another thing. It's another slap in the face. It's another insult. It's another display of choosing. And I know for some people this is going to be too harsh of a word, but I'm sorry, I do believe it. Choosing evil over what's good and right, deliberately, consistently, and blatantly. You know, and this is the course. This is the path that we're on with this administration. And, you know, it's only going to get worse. And, you know, that can actually take us right into the next topic. Claire. They want to fast track. Now, this is, they've been talking about this for a little bit now. AOC notably brought it up, you know, weeks, if not months ago, this idea to fast track illegals, or as they like to say, undocumenteds, for citizenship. And all that means is they just, you know, we all know what it means. They just want to hurry up, get them passed through so they can be voters and voters for them. You know, that's the whole, flood the whole system. That's the plan. That's the idea. And, you know, none of the, and this is such an insult. This is, again, yet another slap in the face to all of the legal immigrants who came into this country, who are coming into this country by legal means, doing the right thing, going through the process. Is it easy? No. Does it take a long time? Yes. Does it suck? Absolutely. There's no question about it. But for all those people, for all those years, doing the right thing the right way, and just to be told, yeah, whatever, who cares? We're just going to let these people skip the line, come right through. None of it matters. None of it, you know, doesn't matter if they're criminals, doesn't matter. Clearly, it doesn't matter if they're breaking the law here because jack shit happens to them. It's insane. And here's the fun part, of course. We can play a game called Guess Who. So 18 senators demand fast track citizenship for illegal immigrants. 18 senators. I wonder what party they belong to.
We could probably guess the states if we tried hard enough.
Yeah, right? I wonder, do I have them? I don't think I have them. Yeah. But you're right. You could.
Yeah. Yeah. You could probably hit the states. Mm-hmm. And for sure the party. I mean, that's easy enough, but this is, you know, it's, and we'll probably get into this a little bit more, maybe touch on it a little bit later, but this is to replace the voters that they're losing from the racial minorities, because there is huge number swing for Latino Hispanic voters moving to Trump conservative Republican side. Mm-hmm. You're starting to lose more, interestingly, specifically young Black males are moving away from the Democratic Party. Now, they're not necessarily moving to Trump Republican, but they're essentially losing votes because they're not voting, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of the problem as well. But there is a shift that's going on in the racial demographics that the Democrats have traditionally depended upon. Modern Democrats, let's be realistic, since probably the 1970s. Mm-hmm. But they're starting to lose them. So now they've got to find a way to replace them. And you said it, this is about votes, and this is what they're doing. So they have, and they're doing it both ways. They're doing the screw it, we'll just let them vote anyway, the California method, right?
Which is
probably the best way to you know, call it, because that's who's doing it. California method of just let them vote. Or the AOC side, right, which she's got a little bit more of a conservative Democratic base, right? There's, you know, they're Democrats, but there's a way to do things kind of a thing. So I think she's playing to her base, which is, you know, they can vote as long as they're citizens. Let's just alter the course to make them citizens, right?
Right.
So they're coming at it from every angle, but it is about getting new votes to replace the votes that they're losing in the same types of demographics. So, but it is a kick to all those generations of those folks who went through and did it the right way, the way that it's designed to be done, like you've talked about. And, you know, how would you feel if you were them? Like, you know, they're going to have to replace every one of those with two more, because you're going to start to lose them. You're going to start to lose the older, you know, immigrant population who became citizens the hard way. They're going to be insulted, and they're going to flip party. So now they got to replace them too. Mm-hmm. So now it's like a double whammy that they've got to take care of. So I don't know if this is the right path. I don't think it's going to get them what they're looking for, but it is certainly about votes. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's just disgusting. Yeah. I think I'm the daughter and granddaughter of legal immigrants who came from Cuba and Germany respectively. And, you know, the thing about my grandparents that I remember so well, and they've all since passed away. But one of the things I remember and loved so much of these memories is their love, like their genuine love for this country. Nobody celebrated the 4th of July harder than my grandparents. Like my grandfather, on the German side, I mean, he would blast Neil Diamond. What is it? America, Coming to America.
Yeah.
That song would be like full blast, you know, and these are people who, I mean, they truly did come for the American dream, you know, and they appreciated. And it was such an impactive, powerful moment to become citizens, to, you know, my mother specifically. It was a big deal, you know, and it was because they had to work for it, because they had to sacrifice, and because of where they came from and what they left behind to come here for. And, you know, to see that so disregarded and just dirt kicked on it is so upsetting. It really truly is. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with all of this. I know we are in, you know, really big trouble. We're just in big trouble. And that's might be, you know, one of the understatements of the year. But I hope that gets stopped. I don't know. I've lost quite a bit of hope as to the right things happening within our government.
There's one like in where I live now in Pennsylvania, there's one bright hope, because Pennsylvania is one of the contested, like the election was stolen. There was vote. You know, there was ballots delivered in the middle of the night. There's a bunch of wanky stuff that went on. Mail-in ballots have to have you know, a date stamp on the envelope. Mm. And if it's past the specific, so it can't be hand walked in, it can't be delivered by somebody. It's got to be run through the post office with a posted, you know, with a time stamp, a date stamp on it from the post office for it to be valid. So that's a step in the right direction.
It
that is. Was determined by the courts. So that's a good thing, but it's not enough to overcome, you know, all the shenanigans that happened, you know, quite a few years ago.
Right.
And I'm not one of those that, you know, it's stolen, bought, whatever. Right. There's just enough doubt in everything that happened that it's hard to ignore.
You know, and all we can say is the same thing that we say over and over again. And that is, man, oh man, don't think that your vote doesn't matter. You know, just get out there and vote. And I know so many people are disheartened and they do think, well, what does it matter? You know, especially the people who think that it's rigged. They're sitting there going, it doesn't matter if I vote or I don't. It matters. It matters. It matters. Just do it. Just do it. Get out there. And, you know, I think the other biggest thing, and I'm not really one to talk. I shouldn't. This isn't my choir to be preaching to. But man, oh, man, do people really need to get involved in their local politics? You know, your average Joes need to get involved in local politics because that's where everything basically starts. So there's my sort of kind of soapbox there for a second. But you mentioned California. California, here's yet another fun thing that they've come up with to do. And of course, this has been going on for a little while now. It's a longer conversation than a hot minute. But California and I think it's 9 other states, might be 9. I'll double check that. They are planning to ban gas vehicles by 2035. Gone. Boom. Gone. That should be Got great. I'm sure the power grid can, you know, handle that no problem.
I mean, that alone is a reason it's not going to happen. I mean, as California stands right now, and I understand this is 11 years from now, but the reality is that they're not going to be able to generate, update, build enough power plants or power plant capacity to, you know, get rid of all gas powered vehicles by 2035. But so California itself can't support it, right? They have problems now. I mean, the last 2 years it's been, hey, we would prefer that you don't charge your cars. You know, it's almost like the you know, places like that. I don't know if you've ever lived in a place or during a drought where it's like, hey, if you have an even number, you know, you can water your lawn on a certain day. If you have an odd number address, then you're the opposite and blah, blah, blah. And they control water consumption like that. They're going to have to do the same thing with power, right?
Right.
You can only charge your car on off days or even days, odd days, whatever it is. Still not going to support it. But really what's going to destroy this in concept before it even gets off the ground is trucking. Like California, with the amount of ports that they have,
right,
if you can't get it off the port, you can't, it's useless, right? So and they do that with trucks, and they're not going to do it by electric trucks because electric trucks don't work, right? They've already, you know, I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen a couple of the conceptual diagrams for these things, and they have to haul a trailer as big as a trailer just for the batteries so that they can haul the, you know what I mean? It would be like a double semi to haul one load, right? You got one load of cargo, one load of batteries, you know what I mean? And that's kind of how it's, but the trucking industry is looking at this and they're shaking their heads because they're not going to do it.
No.
But how do you get the stuff off of the port? How do you get it off the docks and where does it go? So unless they're going to extend every rail line to every port and they're going to move everything by rail, which they're not going to do.
Right.
Because what do you do about inside of California?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
The ports alone, when you talk about the Bay Area, Los Angeles, you talk about San Diego, all the ports along the coast, that alone makes this a non-issue. They're not going to be able to move.
I mean,
they'll destroy their own economy.
Right. Yeah. Logistics wise. I mean, every which way you look at it, it's unsustainable. It's just not practical. It's not logical. And it's not really the environmentally friendly thing that they want you to believe that it is. Yeah. You know, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. And the thing that always gets me with this and all of the things that they do, honestly, is that you can't tell me, you can't get me to believe that these people are too stupid to think of these things.
Yeah.
You know, they can't be. It's impossible for them to be so dumb to not think of all these possibilities. So the alternative to that, if you say these are not dumb people, they've thought of all, they realize all of these things, and yet they're still pushing forward with all of these things that they're doing, from the illegal immigrant fast tracking to these, you know, EVs. The only alternative to understand what's happening is that it is deliberate destruction. You know, it's deliberate attempts to just destroy our country. I mean, how else can you look at it? You know, I mean, this is the grand scheme and the grand plan of socialists, right? They want absolute dependence on the government. They want everybody to be equal, equally poor, equally dependent, equally, you know, incapable of functioning without. And as always, I think I say this every episode that we talk about these things. The only thing that makes me more mad and frustrated than these people doing this are the dummies, and I'm calling them dummies. These are the dummies that are like little minions going, these are great ideas. We, you know, clean energy. Let me get my bumper sticker on my, you know, plug-in car. I can't take it, Clay. My blood pressure is going up.
And we've already, you know, that it doesn't take much to figure out that even the U.S. shifting to EVs, one, the pollution that's caused by building them is worse than gas cars. You know, the child labor involved in mining is atrocious. Right. But oh, by the way, the rest of the world's not making the shift, so it doesn't matter. Like, we're not fixing anything.
Right.
And all we're doing is making things more expensive for the average, you know, the average American, mm-hmm. both in vehicle costs, in, you know, paying their electric bill, in consumption of goods, transportation costs associated. We're just making everything more expensive. So you're right. This is about tearing the economy apart to make everybody dependent upon the government, which mm-hmm. is what they want, which is, you know, the next step into socialism. Yeah. So that's where all of this is headed. And truthfully, you know, We can't do another 4 years in this direction.
We can't. We're done for.
I'm telling you, another 4 years. Yeah. And I hate saying this, and I don't want to be the conspiracy theorist and the mm-hmm. the, you know, the chicken little sky is falling. But I'm telling you, another 4 years of this is going to turn violent. It's going to turn violent. That's the,
absolutely.
The result of this is violence, and it's going to be a lot of violence. Because people are not going to be able to survive it. They're not going to be able to pay their bills. They're not going to be able to, you know, and banks don't care. You're going to have people mm-hmm. losing their houses. You're going to have people losing their cars. You're going to have, you know, massive government dependency. And mm-hmm. then things are going to turn violent because people who've lost things and have had things taken away from them are going to want them back.
Yes.
They're going to take them. And they're going to take them from, they can't take them from the government. So where are they going to take them from? People who still have. Right. And then the violence is going to go up and it's going to get ugly real, real fast. So I don't want to be that guy, but that's, mm-hmm. to me, another 4 years, that's exactly where we're headed.
Oh, I tell you what, Clay, I agree with you. Nobody wants to be that guy, but I'll tell you, I am definitely 100% that guy these days. I am, my husband chuckled a little bit, but you know, he also knows I'm serious, you know, cause it's just, he chuckled because it's coming from me and it probably does sound funny that I'm like, you got to get your supplies. I want to have all our stuff and things so that we are prepared for, you know, for the grid going down, for all of the things that can happen. And like you said, if we have another 4 years of this, you better start prepping, my friends. You better be ready and you better have all of the things that you need and, you know, to survive essentially. And yeah, I know that sounds crazy because we live a pretty comfy, cushy life and we can't imagine that ever being a possibility. But we are damn skippy. We're heading that direction, you know? So shrug it off, guys, or take it seriously. Yeah. And I know a lot of our listeners and watchers actually do take it seriously. So, you know, it is a preach into the choir moment here. But for those handful of people that might come in and say, you know, what are these people talking about? We're talking about better be smart because it's going to get ugly. If this is the path that we stay on, it's going to be bad for sure. For sure. Yep. Sorry guys for the doom and gloom, but you know, it is what it is for sure. Oh, we can want to lighten up a little bit. Cause this is always funny. Always funny to talk about this one here, which is, you know, terrible of us because, you know, she is definitely trying to have, I always have to use this picture of her. You know, she's definitely working on some main character energy. Her camp, the whole Biden Harris team is putting her out front and center right now. And, you know, I mean, I'll give you my speculation on that. I think it's pretty clear that she needs to present as a front runner here, as somebody who can handle things, because everybody knows the situation with Joe. They're just not saying it. They're not acknowledging it. They won't. They can't. But if they're putting her forward, they're freaking out. They are freaking out. What has she done? So in recent weeks, she has she's been to Florida a couple of times to spar with DeSantis over there over how to teach slavery in schools. That got a little contentious. She flew to Iowa to abortion clinics visits. That was actually a very big deal. I think she's the first. She's the first ever. She might be the first. I don't know. That might be going too far, but yeah. Yes. So that was that's a pretty big statement right there, obviously. Not that it's a surprise, but it's definitely if anybody did question it, you know, they're letting you know loud and clear. She also took a couple trips to South Carolina, which is obviously a campaign battleground. And it's, I think I read that she's like, they're going to set up like a field office there. So she's on the move. She is on the move. She is being very vocal. I appreciate her for giving me material, endlessly. You know, but that's about all I can thank her for. Everything else is.
Yeah. She's obviously the support network. So she is younger. She's mobile. She can go places. She can do mm-hmm. now. They're all crossing their fingers in the back that she doesn't, you know, shoot herself in the foot by opening her mouth. But, you know, they're rolling out everybody. I mean, you saw it the other night, right? He went to, instead of going to that, unfortunately, that slain officer's wake and funeral, he decided to go to a fundraiser with, you know, Bill Clinton and you know, President Clinton and President Obama. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so but that's local, right? Like that's, right. You can't go far. She can travel for him, but they're rolling out the whole, like they're pulling everything out now because they know things are bad. But you're right. She has to present a viable, you know, backup in case something happens to the president, because everybody's afraid that's what's going to happen. And there are people who will vote, you know, not for Trump, but against him because they know he's going to become incapacitated and she's going to have to take over. And nobody wants that.
Right.
So she's got to present a better image. But, you know, I met somebody a couple of weeks ago, and this is a woman who is, you know, a financial bigwig. And I'm not going to say who she is, but a number of years ago when Vice President Harris was on her way up and coming in the California, you know, legal world, and she was friends with the mayor and, you know, all of that stuff was going on. The mayor asked this woman to have lunch with this young, you know, attorney, Kamala Harris, to maybe give her some mentorship as a powerful female with a lot of, you know, brain. This woman I met is a genius. She's brilliant. Yeah. And this is 30 years ago, right? Or 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she said she was one of the dumbest people she's ever met. And that, like the nervous cackling, like that's been going on forever.
Really?
Like that's not, yeah. That she's and but she said she was so unimpressed. Like the lunch was uncomfortable. Like it was just, and she was so shocked. You know, when the mayor asks you to have lunch with somebody like this,
right?
You know, to offer some mentorship, like, you know, this is somebody that's vetted. It's, you know, there's somebody with some, you know, they're on an upward trajectory. And she was baffled by the end of this lunch. Like, what did I get asked to do? This girl's an idiot. Like, she's really just that dumb. Like, I can't believe this. So And listen, you know this, you replicate her all the time. She mm-hmm. hasn't gotten any better. Like, no. She's still just as dumb can be. It's even given so a script, she can't do it.
Crazy. You know, I laugh all the time at my comments section on those videos, on those Kamala impersonation videos. I crack up because, you know, that's the defender's go-to every time. She was an attorney. What have you done? You know, she's the vice president. What have you done? Well, I didn't sleep my way to the top, I can tell you that. So, you know, oh, did I say that? Was that my outside voice? Oh, listen, I'm not saying she did. Well, I did just say that she did, sort of, kind of. But yes, we all know, you know, let's call it what it is. These are things that have been not even whispered, just outright said, how she managed to work her way up the ladder. And yes, I know so many women in positions of power, success and all of those things, they get accused of that. That's always, you know, the backhanded whispers and things when it comes to women. And, you know, and I hate to be someone who perpetuates that type of thing. But, you know, when you hear the same story over and over again, and with no deviation, you kind of say,
more importantly, no legal action from an attorney for libel, slander. Like, she hasn't sued anybody for this.
Right.
Because in a court of law, she's going to lose. And then it's documented. Then it's documented. And there's no denying at that point, because all of that's going to come out. Right. Yep. That's why there's never been a single attempt, not a single lawsuit against anyone in the press, anywhere, about any of this, because it can all be proven in a court of law, and she won't fight it because she doesn't want to document it. That's
That's a spectacular point that we will be
she's an attorney.
Reiterating.
She is an attorney. Can't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, this is what they're giving their party right now. And you get,
RFK Jr. is doing this. He's like, let me at her. Like, come on. He's excited. Like, you know, and he's like his VP selection. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about this lady that he has named, other than she's, you know, a business bigwig of sorts, but, you know, he sees it. She's the weak spot. I mean, Biden's, you know, everybody knows President Biden's on his way down, but he knows that pairing, that ticket, they're dead meat. He can't wait to get his hands on them.
Yeah. My gosh. He could, circles around for his, you know, with his speech issues, he can still articulate faster, clearer, better than she could on her absolute best day.
Yep.
If she were reading from a script, he'd still slaughter her. No question about it. So, sure. Oh, man. Oh, man. So, So, I mean, you know, let's keep watching, right? Get the popcorn. Keep watching. It's one hell of a show every day. Speaking of shows, Daily Wire. So, you know, I've been a Daily Wire subscriber for, I don't know, a while now. I like Ben. I don't have like strong feelings about any of them. I actually who's that? There's actually one I like. Is it Matt Walsh? No. Who's the other? Oh, Knowles. Michael Knowles. He's actually the one I like the best. But you know, I think they're interesting. They're good. Candace Owen, obviously, if you don't know already, you should know. You can't be under a rock. You know these things. But Daily Wire / Ben Shapiro specifically, split from Candace Owen. There's like swirling that she was fired. Some say it was just the contract was up. They were a lot of contentious stuff going on. Her and Ben have been very publicly feuding, disputing, specifically the Israel Gaza conflict, war. Are we allowed to call it a war? I mean, cause it is a war, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, I think, you know, Israel would probably tell you they've been at war for since 1948.
Right. Yeah. Because I feel like saying, you know what it is, Clay? I feel like saying conflict is kind of almost minimizing it, trivializing it. And it's not at all. So I feel like conflict isn't a strong enough word to say. And I'm afraid war was too strong a word to say. So I'm deferring to you how I should phrase that.
Yeah. The common phrase in the news, you know, in media now is conflict. People don't like to say war. War is an ugly thing.
Right.
But I would tell you that modern war, the things that we did for 20 plus years in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, other than for very brief periods of time, didn't look like anything that happened in World War II. So, you know, the face of war changes, you know, it evolves all the time. But I think that media is using conflict. But again, I would tell you that Israel would tell you that these are all just battles within a very, very long war that they've been fighting since inception in 1948. So I don't think you can go wrong one way or the other. I think
Good. Because this is always a little bit out of my depth here. So I'm trying to be very careful what I say. So they have been kind of going back and forth. Interestingly enough, when this was going on, so Candace Owen has made some statements that are being viewed by certain people, including Ben Shapiro, as being anti-Semitic. They have been going back and forth, and he's been very public. I guess I think there was like a party. It was recorded. He was kind of really bashing her, and it's a bad look. You know, you're supposed to be on the same team, and you guys are going at it. So anyhow, Jeremy Bowring, who's like co-owner or whatever, had made a statement a little while back. He said that they would not fire Candace because of here's the exact quote. He says, even if we could, we would not fire Candace because of another thing we have in common, a desire not to regulate the speech of our hosts, even when we disagree with them. So that was a statement he made early on with this. He was asked, like, what do you think? You know, are you going to fire her because this is pretty bad? And that was what he said. And then all of a sudden, you know, they have a parting of ways. And she's saying things like, you know, I'm free at last, you know, like she's free and grateful to be out of there, as if she was kind of being held hostage, meaning by contract or something. So whatever happened there, it was, you know, pretty ugly. And, you know, it's, I tell you, it's funny. You can look at so many different news sources, and this is no surprise to anyone, but so many different news sources, and depending which way they lean determines the way that they phrase, you know. So one of the articles I opened up said, far right host of Daily Wire, you know, like far right, you know, ultra right, blah, blah, blah. And they're saying, you know, all these things. So I had to kind of like bounce around a little bit to find somewhere in the middle to get a little bit more of truth. So apparently she has made a lot of criticism towards the Israeli army's actions in Gaza. In November, she tweeted, "There's no justification for a genocide. I can't believe this even needs to be said or is even considered the least bit controversial to state." Her remarks were in response to the Israeli army's siege in Gaza in retaliation to the October 7th Hamas-led terrorist attack. So she has, you know, made quite a few comments that have made people in the Jewish community feel as if she is a problem, basically. So, yeah. So that's that. They have parted ways. My personal feelings on that is that it's not a good look, I think, for the Daily Wire. To be honest with you, you know, when you make one statement, you say, listen, our hosts, they have a right to their opinions, to express their opinions, and then turn around and part ways with somebody, you know, I don't know. There's a big, you know, I actually did a little poll just for ha-has. I was curious when this first happened, how many people were Team Candace versus Team Ben or Daily Wire. A lot in favor for Candace. She had a lot of support out there.
Yeah. So they were both, you know, darlings of the conservative media side. You know, obviously Ben Shapiro is like the name, truthfully, at Daily Wire.
Right.
Right. No doubt about that. Yep. You know, I don't know if I would put either of them in the upper echelons with like Tucker Carlson or, Glenn Beck even, but they're close. Like they're getting mm-hmm. there. You know, Candace Owens is a bit of a unicorn, you know, black female conservative, right. You know, pro-life. She's the one who's been, you know, preaching the Blexit out of the Democratic Party. That's her. Yeah. She's been doing yes. that, the stuff we were talking about earlier. So, you know, what this doesn't show, you know, we've talked about this before, is there's no united front. And I don't think right. in journalism you necessarily should have or need to have a united front. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, kind of breeds that division that we've all been complaining sure. about for the last 10 years or so. But this does smack of a little bit of childish, I think, behavior. I mean, I heard some rumors, you know, some things that Candace is being accused of saying that you can't even say in your right mind, you know, that Jews drink the blood of Christians, you know, like
oh, right.
she said that out loud. Like if she said that out loud, it was mm-hmm. in a like, can you believe that people actually, you know what I mean? Like,
right. And
somebody took it out of context if she even said it, which I highly doubt mm-hmm. she did. So it's, this all seems a little childish to me in the way that it was handled. Now,
yes.
If, you know, what she did say, the Twitter stuff from November, she said mm-hmm. it. I mean, it's out there. You can't deny
right.
it.
Right.
You know, that was kind of the overreaction of genocide. I think people have been throwing that word around. Listen, mm-hmm. if the Israelis wanted to cause a genocide of Palestinians, right?
Right.
Which we're still trying to figure out what that means because mm-hmm. it's not a thing. They would call inside of their own Israeli borders first. There's 2 million, you know, there's 2 million plus Arabs that live, you know, Arabs, Muslims that live inside of Israel.
Happen. Right.
Not in the mm-hmm. occupied territories, not sure. in Gaza, not like in Jerusalem and like they coexist and everything's fine. Right. Mm-hmm. So if there's going to be a genocide, they would start there. And then right. they would worry about the occupied territories. It would look a lot like Berlin in 1939, but that's not happening. Right. So that the, you know, people throwing around the word genocide and people have been doing it a lot is, you know, mm-hmm. erroneous. And it's, and it's a, that's a pretty stark accusation against a people that were the victim of genocide. Right.
Right. Right.
So that burns, you know, Jews specifically pretty sure. hot. So, you know, people didn't appreciate that at all. And I think that's mm-hmm. where this all kind of went sideways. Yeah. Whether she agrees with what Israel is doing or not is one thing. Mm-hmm. The use of that word and making an accusation like that kind of ups it a little bit more. And that's sure. when I think we got kind of into the childish realm of, you know, how we're going to handle this. And there was the name calling and,
yeah.
you know, all those other things. But I do believe it was uncomfortable enough for her that she right. did just want out of there. She was probably yeah. happy that they came to whatever terms of agreement, you know, to get her out of there, for her to leave. Like you said, the free at last, you know, proclamation. Mm-hmm. I think yep. she was probably happy to leave. The yeah. problem is, where does she go?
Yeah.
Right. Does she
yeah, go exactly.
the journalist route? Does she mimic Tucker and hope things work out for her? You know, mm-hmm. does she bounce over to the Blaze? Does she, you know what I mean? Like, where does she right. go to do this? She's not going to Fox. I can tell no. you that, right?
No, nope, definitely so, not.
You know, I hope she's got a plan, because I think her voice is important to mm-hmm. journalism in general.
Yes.
You know, and she's probably as much a pundit as she is a journalist, probably more mm-hmm. so a pundit. But again, she's an important voice to have out there.
Right.
And I don't think it does anybody any good to have her wandering around, you know, shaking a cup, selling pencils, trying to get back right. on TV again. Like that,
yeah.
that's not a good thing. So we'll see how it plays out. But it got yeah. pretty ugly.
It did. Yeah. That, I think, you know, I agree with you on the, I think that's the thing that kind of got me the most, the pettiness of it. And you know, I would have liked, and I agree that, you know, I don't need to see, it doesn't need to be a united front, but just keep it classy. Can we keep it classy at the very least? Like, that's all I would ask for. Like, you know what, we've come to a point where, we're at an impasse. We're not going to agree. This is an uncomfortable, unpleasant situation for all of us. And we all agree that it's best for us to part ways. We wish each other the best and in their endeavors, you know, like, class it up. Let's be those guys with the class, not, you know, but
I'm sure it will be a top If it hasn't been already, it'll be a topic on The View.
Of course. Oh, of course.
Exactly the reason that you're talking about.
Those cackling hens, man. Can't stand them. I can't stand them. Yeah.
Speaking of Israel, right?
Yes, 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 yes. Hang on. Where is it? Here it is. Boom. Yeah. So it's like the longest heading ever. Yeah. So, I don't know what I was thinking.
You know, chalk another one up for Clay. You know, we talked about this a couple of months ago, maybe, and we were talking about, you know, how the IRGC, Iranian army, the military and the government has been backing Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and all this other stuff. And they've been funding and equipping, you know, and training terrorist organizations all across the Middle East for a number of years. And we had already, the United States has already killed one commander of this organization within the Iranian army. And I said, that should be the most dangerous job in the world. And every day you should be worried that you're going to get killed. Hey, here we go. What? Right.
So this is the guy.
That's the guy, right?
Yep.
So that's
the guy.
And Israel has, as I understand it, they've said, yeah, that was us. We did it. Mm-hmm. So they tracked him. They had some intelligence on his location, and he was in a consulate in Damascus, Syria. And they flew an airstrike, and they blew the building to shit, and they killed him. And yep. They said, "You want to keep funding Hamas, who's harassing us, and Hezbollah and the Houthis and all this other stuff? That's fine. Put somebody else in charge because this guy's gone." Mm-hmm. And they took, chess piece came off the table, and they're zero remorse. Interesting though is what does that do? Like, what does Syria do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because this is the difference for those that, it's not an embassy, right? So it's not, embassies around the world are, if you're in the U.S. embassy in Germany, you're actually in the United States. That's U.S. ground, right? A consulate is not the same thing. That's not it at all. So really what the Israelis did was they flew into Syria and blew apart a building owned by the Iranians in Syria on Syrian territory. So what does Syria do?
Right.
I think Syria is going to sit this one out. I think they're going to let this one go. I don't think they're going to do shit about it.
Yeah.
But again, big step by Israel to say, put another guy in charge. And when you put him in charge, we're going to track that guy down and we're going to kill him too. If you guys keep doing this, we'll play this game all day. So good for them. I like it myself. I think it's, I was actually surprised it was them and not us, but good for them.
Mm.
I called it.
You called it. We gotta start taking a running tally. I need a board behind it, right? We can just check it right off and be like, yep, another one. Yes, you did call it for sure. It was so funny when we started talking about that. You're like, called it.
Yep. I called it. So on the even before that, and here's another. We'll touch this very, very briefly. And I missed it last week when you were gone. I just totally missed this. But there was the ISIS-K attack in Moscow, right? Mm-hmm. And they attacked the concert and they killed 100 and however many people it was. It was awful.
Awful.
The question that we all, and we'll keep this one short, but the question we all need to be asking ourselves is why?
Mm-hmm.
What, why in the world would ISIS-K walk into Moscow of all places and attack them? Listen, the United States, NATO, even the United Nations, we all abide by laws, even when it comes to fighting a war. Geneva Convention, law of land warfare. We have laws that we follow to make sure that war is conducted in a humane manner as much as we can. Okay. Putin and the Russians don't care. They could have poked any bear in the woods and they picked the absolute wrong one. Like,
that was the craziest bear to poke.
I don't get it. I don't know why. Like ISIS-K, for those of you that don't know, is the Afghan branch of ISIS, right? Mm-hmm. And go back in history not all that long ago, but there's a pretty significant issue between the old Soviets and Afghanistan, right? Happened in 79, the Soviets invaded, they stayed there, they wrecked the country for 10 years, and then they left.
Mm-hmm.
But they've also stayed their nose out of everything that's been going on there for the last 20 plus years, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know why ISIS-K, after all this time, decided to poke the bear, the worst bear, the guy.
The most rabid bear you could poke.
He used to be a KGB officer. This guy doesn't give a shit. I don't understand this at all, because the potential for repercussions here is is high, mm-hmm. and it's going to be, it has the potential to be very, very violent and very ugly. And he's right. not going to give a crap at all.
And just, and you know, just a little indicator of how different Putin, Russia handles things like this compared to, I don't know, let's just say us. Somebody bombs something, they live, they get taken into custody, they stand trial. Well, they do that too. But here's what these guys look like when they go. Now, the guy in the middle, okay? Now, Clay, I did you, I don't even know if I should say this to you guys, but what I read was that they cut his ear off and fed it to him. I'm pretty sure that's true by the looks of it.
Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't shock me at all. Not even a little bit.
Right? Nope. And I'm sorry if I just, you know, grossed anybody out, you know, military guy, cop's wife here, gallows humor. I mean, you know, we're not too phased, but sorry for anybody who is. I mean, one more look at that picture. These guys had a really bad time after.
Listen, we put ourselves, I mean, think back, like, dog collars at Abu Ghraib, waterboarding, all that stuff. Right. Like all of that ended, you know, in and around 2007, 8-ish, right?
Mm-hmm.
We put our own people on trial for stuff like that, right?
Right.
I mean, we convicted right. people of doing things. And then, oh, by the way, when we did that, we started allowing, you know, terrorists to, you know, the privilege of our legal system.
Mm, right. Right.
They sat right. In Gitmo, you know, you know, their lawyer would go in and that, you know, they all had lawyers and fair trials mm-hmm. and all this other stuff. They're not getting that out of Putin.
Like, no.
That stuff's not happening.
No,
those three guys.
Yeah.
I would be shocked right now if all three of those guys are still alive.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they are, they're wishing that they were not.
They were dead. You are correct. Yeah. Yeah.
There's, you know, just by that picture alone, tells you everything you need to know. And but I agree with you, Clay. I can't fathom why they did that. Why they thought that seriously, was a good idea.
Find somebody else. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, NATO nation is the safest place to go. Go someplace mm-hmm. in Europe. Go, you know, if you really want to strike Westerners and all that other stuff, like, that's the place to be. Russia is right. not it. Like, I don't. You know, and this is one of those, like, Putin's going to be like, listen, I got enough going on in Ukraine. I don't have time to make this clean. And just go in there and just kill a bunch of them and be done with it and send a message. Yes. Like, this is going to be done mafia style. I'm telling you, this is going to get nasty.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the strategic, you know, thought process from ISIS-K to attack Moscow,
right.
all friggin' places.
Yeah. And they took credit for it. So it's not like, you know, it's not like. Yeah. They're like, hey, I don't know what happened. They went rogue. Nope. These, oh, and they're not. They're like, nope. No,
that was us.
Yeah,
that was us. We did that. Like, you're an idiot.
I mean, holy cow. Talk about
really bad idea.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, if there is some kind of master plan there on their part, we've certainly yet to see what that was, it's not going to fare well for them at all. No. At all.
Nope. Not even a little. Which is fine. Good. Let them deal with it.
Right? Absolutely. That's,
then we don't have to. Somebody else can deal with it.
Absolutely.
And they'll put the hammer down. That's for sure.
They sure will. They sure will. Oh my goodness. What will next week bring? It almost gives me a little anxiety, Clay. Like, I mean, as if this stuff wasn't crazy enough. What's the rest of the week going to bring? Oh, well, whatever it is. Yep. Whatever it brings, we will share it with you. We will try and infuse a few laughs in there here and there. So we don't, you know, all curl up in the corner, sucking our thumbs. Oh man. Well, it was great to be back again, sitting down, chatting with my buddy Clay. We will, you know, listen, we always tell you the same thing every time. We want to talk to you in the comments. We want to hear from you. We want your thoughts. We want your ideas. We want your suggestions, your opinions, the whole darn works. We love it. We love it. Clay, what would you like to send these people off with tonight?
First of all, thank you. And I'm so happy that you're back. I love having you back. You said the banter is the best part, at least for me. I appreciate everybody tolerating me for 2 weeks in Elsa's absence. It was a lot of fun, but I know we all like having her back. And please comments, find us on the socials, reach out to us, email, you know, her or me, it doesn't matter. We'll get to you. And as always, for me, keep moving, keep shooting.
I love it. All right, guys, take it easy. We'll see you next week. Bye.